Wasabi, all you podcast listeners. How's it going? This is Samurai Smack. Woo! It is good to be here. Man, it's been a little while. Whoops. But we got a great show for you today. Awesome show. I'm going to read off a legend from the cats. And that is just getting... That's got a lot of action going on there. A lot of people have been waiting for this show. Like, yeah, I've been getting great support here. All the emails. I don't have time to go into answering emails today on this show, but man, I gotta let you guys know I really appreciate it, and like they're all just awesome, and it's really helping me going. And Steve's not here today. Ah, I miss her. I know everybody does. It sucks, but she's in charge of doing the music here. I mean, but so today's episode's not gonna have any music. That's too bad. Other than, you know, I might sing here in a second. No. But, that's too bad. So everybody say hi to Steve. She's having a great day off. And just great support in the emails. And no, I haven't stopped doing the show. I know it's been like 3 months since I've done an episode. Whew. That is bad. I had to fire my manager a couple of times. I just keep rehiring the guy. I really like him. I mean, his name's David Bauman, so... Try to cut him a little slack. I mean, a week ago I would have said, you know, throw rocks at that guy, but, you know, he's trying his best. He's getting out there trying to become a manager, and it's pretty tough, I guess. I wouldn't be able to do it. I'm just the idea guy and the voice of the show. Yeah, that's an easy job, but, man, managing a show, that's pretty tough. But, let's see here. What happened? My last show was, at the end of May there sometime, and... Phew, lot of stuff has happened. I've been real busy. Gosh, I went on a little vacation there. It had been 3 years since I had been down to see my folk, my mom, and my family side there and there, and that's living in Oregon. And I just got the call to go down there. Like, something told me that I needed to go down there, and I just like hopped on a flight right away and went down there, visited everybody, got to see just about all my cousins and my grandparents and stuff, and it was just really great. I stayed for about 3 days there, and on the last day it was really sad. He's a really great man, but my grandpa kind of passed away. He awesome guy. I'm gonna do a little bit more on the what his life was like here on upcoming episodes, because he's just a really cool guy. I mean, he like had some of the very first like television stations that came out like in America when TV came out, just the owner and head guy for that, and he did a lot of stuff in the community and like political stuff, and that's just really cool, and it's been really inspiring. I mean, I didn't really know most of it until after he passed, but so he definitely deserves a big dedication and some good times, you know, like remembering him. But it was really cool that I was there and able to offer up everybody hugs. And, you know, my grandma is just the strongest woman I have ever met. I can't believe it. She just is the strongest lady ever. Like, totally took me by surprise and definitely inspirational. But I flew home and... it was just, I had a great vacation otherwise. Everything was happy. Everybody I met was smile right back at me, like, especially the ladies. Thank you. Oh, man. But great time there, and it was just awesome seeing my mom and family, like I said, yeah. And then I came back and, like, did a record amount of work for my company here. And, well, my job's not interesting. Whose job is interesting is my brother's. He's been out there fishing for the last 3 months. He's, like, lost a thumb. He's been attacked by a bear out on the water. Like, I don't know, bears have some pretty wild technology these days, apparently. And then, like, the boat ran aground. But it's really funny because they ran aground, busted a hole in their boat, like, right next to the Coast Guard. So it was totally like, hey, come save us. Okay, no problem. We got you. We got you saved. So that was totally exciting for them. Like, we're going to have to do an interview for my brother on his time there. He's going to get on here and explain to us a little bit more, because, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what happened, but it all went down pretty good. Bear attacks in the water? How does that happen? Oh, man. Well, alright, we're coming close up to my reading of the cat legend. Yeah, that's going to be really cool in a minute here, but I'm going to try off this joke I wrote. All right. Well, since I'm trying to learn how to tell jokes, I went and bought, you know, a dummy's guidebook to comedy. And, well, I'm reading, and it's like, step one, have something that your audience can relate to. So we all got legs, right? We could relate there, you know? All right. And step two is give your audience time to laugh. All right. And where step three should be, step three is an advertisement to Dummy's Guidebook to Rape. I did not think that was very funny. That's not funny at all. Where did this book come from? That's just horrible. Anyway, there's probably lawsuits on their hands. Dummy guidebooks to handling lawsuits. No, actually, the only Dummy's Guidebook I've ever looked at was to something completely confusing, like astrophysics or something like that. So I didn't understand that at all. But this is where I'd normally play a nice song and get the song out there to build the anticipation for this coming cat legend I'm about to read off. But poor Steve, not here. Poor me, actually. Steve's out partying, vacationing it up. Woo! But okay, so I'm just going to have to make do. And it's probably good that I'm not playing music because I don't have a mixer yet, and I'm just holding the microphone up to the speaker. I mean, totally legitimate radio station guy here. Yeah, everything legit. Oh yeah. All right, so just pretend there's some music going on, and we're gonna begin with the cat legend. In the days of long ago, it might have been a thousand or million years, the island lay green and beautiful beneath the warm gaze of a gentle smiling sun. The blue waters lapped playfully at the indolent rocks and sent showers of white spray into the air in which rainbows stretched all-embracing arms. The land was fertile and luxuriant, with tall and graceful trees reaching high into the heavens, there to be caressed by the balmy breezes. From the higher grounds, rivers came bounding over huge boulders to fall tinkling into great pools before the spreading out and flowing more sedately into the ever-welcoming sea. In the hinterland, mountains rose and hid their crowns above the clouds, providing maybe foundations for the homes of the gods. Along the stretches of the golden sands, fringed by white foam and incoming waves, happy natives played, swam, and made love. Here there was nothing but peace, joy, and infallible contentment. Here there was no thought for the future, no thought of sorrows or evil, but only joy beneath the gentle waving palms. A broad road led inwards from the shore, disappearing into the cool dusk of an immense forest to reappear miles away where the scene was very different. Here were temples wrought in colored stone and metals such as silver and gold, mighty spires which reached aloft to probe the skies, domed cupolas, and vast expanses of time-meld buildings. From a high temple embrasure came notes of a deep-toned gong, scattering into flight thousands of birds who were dozing in the sunlight along the hollowed walls. As the deep chiming continued, yellow-robed men hastened to a central building. For a time the rush continued, then it slackened, and in the open all was quiet again. In the main assembly of immense temple, the monks shuffled uneasily, speculating upon the reason for the sudden call. At last a door clicked, and in the far recesses of the temple a small file of yellow-robed men came into view. The obvious leader, an old man wizened and dried by the years, walked slowly ahead, escorted by two immense cats, cats with black tails, ears, and masks, and white bodies. There was a clear, complete telepathic understanding between the old man and the cats. Together they walked to a podium where the old man stood a moment, gazing out upon the sea of faces confronting him. "Brothers of all degree," he said at last slowly, "I called you here to tell you that this our island is in mortal danger. For long we have suffered under the threat of scientists who inhabit the land of the other side of the mountains, cut off from us by a deep gorge which almost divides the island. They are not easy of access. Within the territory, science has been supplanted religion. They have no god, no conception of the rights of others. Now, brothers of all degree," the old priest stopped and looked sadly around. Satisfied that he had the rapt attention of his audience, he resumed, "We have been threatened. Unless we both unless we bow the knee to the ungodly and become utterly subservient to these evil men, they threaten to destroy us with strange and deadly germs." He paused warily, with the weight of his years heavy upon him. "We, brothers, are here to discuss how we may circumvent this threat to our existence and freedom. We know where the germ cultures are stored, for some of us have tried in vain to steal them. They may be destroyed, yet we have failed, and those whom we sent have been tortured and killed."
"Holy Father," said a young monk, "would these germ cultures be bulky, heavy to carry? Could a man steal them and run with them?"
He sat down, overcome with his temerity of addressing the Holy Father. The old man looked sadly before him. "Bulk?" he queried.
"There is no bulk. The germ cultures are contained within a tube which may be held between a finger and thumb. Yet one drop would spread across our land and annihilate us. There is no bulk, but the germ culture is contained within a tower which is heavily guarded."
He paused again and mopped his brow.
"To show their contentment of us, they placed it in an open window, well within sight of all those whom have sent into the land. A slender tree stretches a delicate branch across the window, the branch but as thick as my wrist. To show they have no fear of us, they sent us a message saying that we should pray until we were light-headed, and then perhaps the branch would support us."
The meeting continued into the early hours of the morning, monk discussing with monk ways and means of saving their people from destruction.
"Could we but knock it down so that it would break? Then we would vanquish and be saved from destruction," said one monk.
"That is so," said another. "But if we knock it down, we could reach it, and if we could hold it, then we would hold the power. For it is said there is no antidote, no way of staving off the evil germs."
In the inner sanctum, the old man lay in exhaustion upon his couch. Beside him, guarding him, lay two cats.
"Your Holiness," said one by telepathy, "could not I go into the land, climb the tree, and remove the vial?"
The other cat looked at his companion.
"We will go together," he said. "It will double the chance of our success."
The old priest pondered, thinking of all that was at stake. At last he spoke telepathically.
"You may have the solution," he said. "For no one but a cat could climb the tree and move upon the branch. You may have the solution."
He lapsed into private thoughts for a while, and no telepathic cat would ever intrude upon one's private thoughts.
"Yes, it may be the answer," said the
old man.
"We will have you both carried into across the gorge, and you will be not tired, and we will there wait for your safe return."
He paused and then added,
"And we will let no other know what it is that we will do. For even in a community such as this, there are those who talk too freely."
"Yes!"
he clapped his hands in delight.
"We will send an emissary to attain their terms, and then that will distract their attention for you."
The days that followed were busy ones. The high priest let it be known that he desired to send an emissary, and the answer was received that it would be permitted. Men guarding the emissary and carried two baskets, climbed mountain passes to the gorge, crossed, and they were in enemy territory. The emissary went on into the enemy stronghold, and under the cover of darkness the cats were released from the baskets. As silent as the night itself, they made off. Stealthily they approached the tree and paused at its foot. Thoroughly they used their telepathic powers in order to determine the presence of any enemy. Cautiously one ascended, while the other used every telepathic ability in order to keep the closest watch. With infinite caution, the climbing cat crawled along the branch until at last it could snatch the vial under the nose of the startled guard. Long before men could come pouring out of the tower, the two cats had dissolved into the darkness, carrying back to the old priest a vial which would now safeguard his land for years to come. Now, in that land, cats are sacred to the country's descendants, and only the cats know why. All right, that was a reading from a book written by a cat. And, wow, I thought that story was just super cool. So cool that I had to read it on air. And, oh man, next episode, we're going to go into the, you know, possibilities. Like, how would, you know, they retain the knowledge of past lives? Is that possible? Can our science prove that? What we're going to do is go into the discussions about that. in the next episode, and, phew, all right, thanks for listening. Hopefully Steve will be back. She's so fun when she's here. Everything's kind of boring, but it's okay. I still had a lot of fun doing it, and I'm so glad I'm back doing this show again. Oh, and by the way, I'm gonna go on vacation. So there's gonna be no shows for the next 2 weeks, but I'm gonna be off in a place called Nevada, going to an art festival called Burning Man. So I'm gonna be taking lots of pictures, and if you get to see them, hiya. They're gonna be great. I might not be spending my time there taking pictures, but I'm definitely gonna spend the time at least one day. And right on. Yeah, you guys stay tuned and keep watching. Again, great support, and keep those fan emails coming. I love them. I read every single one. They're just awesome, and I'm going to get to answering some of those questions in the later episodes. Oh, yeah, if you like that intermission, that was just some random thing. I'm going to keep those shows labeled, like Intermission 2, Intermission 3. I got some good ideas, little adventures, and little adventures were going on. So, yeah, everybody stay tuned, and have a good night.